I'm an addict. My name's Leanne. John's Pat's still here. I'm just drinking Thursday nights in the Southfield area. Making amends. You know what I was here to do today? When I worked up and they picked us and said, can you speak on making amends? And I said, yeah, I can. I thought a little bit about it today, and the first thing that came to my mind was that everyone I hear walking through the door new wants to make amends right away. They don't want to go through 1 through 8, they want to make amends. And after working steps 1 through 8, I realized today why they're in that order, because if I had made amends when I first got here, I would have done it for the wrong reasons. I would have done it incomplete. I would have skipped myself. And I would have probably done much more harm. And financial amends would have never even entered the picture, because I was so self-centered, I didn't need to do that. After completing steps 1 through 8 with my sponsor, I started to talk about making amends. And her and I sat down, and this is not the sponsor that I have today, who is celebrating 16 years today. The sponsor that I had at the time looked at the list and picked a person on there and said, she doesn't need to be on your list. She harmed you. You didn't harm her. And at the time, I said, okay, I didn't know any better. I really didn't. 2 weeks later, I knew better. 4 years later, I still haven't made amends. I used the excuse that this sponsor knew better. I'd gotten a new sponsor, and I was at a conference, and there was a woman speaking, and the woman speaking was talking about making amends, and it's just, I'm sitting there, and I'm mad. And my sponsor said, what's going on? You've completed step 9, or you have people on your list to the best of your ability, and what's going on? And I told her the story. And she said, it was October. And she said, you have till Thanksgiving to make amends to your mother. And if you don't get them made, don't wait till the last minute. Get it done. Get it done now. Don't save your hardest amends to the end. I started making my amends, and when I did, I started with my cat. And I shared this in my home group, and people laughed. You know what? I didn't feed her. I mistreated her. I gave her pot, and I don't really think she wanted it. She never came in and said, I'd like to get high. And I knew without a doubt that she wasn't going to give me any shit back. It was a way of starting. I had to start somewhere, and you know what? I started when I first came in by not continuing to do the behaviors that I was doing. I stopped lying, I stopped cheating, I stopped stealing. I stopped being an abusive mom to my son. I stopped stealing from work. You know, I stopped doing the things that would add to the list. But as far as making formal amends to someone, I was afraid. And I prayed about it, and my sponsor suggested to start with my cat. And so I made amends to my cat. And you know what? She still hung around the house, so I thought, I can move on. I can move on. And I sat my son down, and I said, I'd really like to do this. And he got up and left, and he said, I came here. And I said, okay. So I called my ex-father-in-law, and I said, hi, I'd like to take you to dinner. And he said, okay. And I made amends to him, and it was okay. So I got a couple of the easy ones out of the way. And again, I sat my son down, and I said, I need to talk to you. And he said, I don't want to hear this. And I said, you know what? I need to tell you this, and please, can we sit down? That was the hardest one that I think that I had to make, because I had to look at him and tell him, and you know what, I was really crummy. And we talked and we laughed and we cried, and it started our healing process. He was in Japan for a year, and I sent him tape. And on each tape, I added a little bit more of the amends. Because I needed to say more, and it was so hard when we were just sitting there. And it really was difficult. You know, the book says we have to be respectful, we're reserving a place for relapse. And, you know, I heard them talk on the fourth and fifth step this morning. And I really believe that the fourth step was so important to me, finding out who I was and who I am. And that the fifth step, you know, someone said it, you know, it was kind of like, I could then sit down and be part of you. Even though I was part of the beginning, you know, it's kind of like that bad terminology, that belly up to the bar, you know, we're here now, and I'm part. I could lay my cards on the table, but there was something about that. The ninth step set me free. The ninth step was like, when I, it just like the doors opened, and there I was. It was the most beautiful step. I could look at my son and no longer feel, you know what, when stuff goes on today with him, I don't sit around feeling like, you know, when I was such a lousy mother, if I would have done that, this wouldn't be happening. Before I did that step, I did. I really did. And that doesn't mean I don't sit around and, you know, when something's going on and he's doing something, because he's an adult, he's 27 years old today, and when he does something, you know, there's this part of me that still thinks, oh, man. But I'm not accountable, not for it. I can look at him and say, to try this, it might help a little bit. But I don't sit around feeling that guilt in my stomach like that it's all my fault. You know, I've been on the other side of the men. My father was in another fellowship. He died with 2 years of recovery, and he came to me to make amends. And he went to all of his children to make amends. There are six of us. Five of them closed the door in his face and said, I don't want to hear it. I told him to come in. And there's not one that equals I'm standing here today and they're still using. But there's something in the back of my head that every once in a while says that little bit of willingness or open-mindedness to hear him and to hear what he had to say, because I spent my whole life thinking if he would quit, my life would be wonderful. And you know what? He quit, my life wasn't wonderful. I still was in a family of addiction. And so I listened to him, and I listened to him say, I'm really sorry for what happened. And if I had to do it again, I would try and do it differently. And this is what I'd like to do today. And so when it was time to sit my son down, my father's words came back. And I could remember what he said, and I could sit down and I could look and say, what can we do today? And how can we go on? I look at some of the other men, you know, that were on my list, and, you know, it says wherever possible. I had two stepchildren that I raised for a while, and I was very, very abusive to one of them. Not physically, but that mental, that can be so much harder. And I can't tell you what the reason is. And his name was right there. And for some reason, I still had a relationship with his mother. You know, we both had divorced the boy's father, and neither one of us talked, but her and I still talked, and she was in Pittsburgh. And I called her, and I said, I'd really like to get Ron's number, because I'd like to talk to him. And she said, Lillian, that really, really wouldn't be good. And she said, it just wouldn't. And I said, okay. And I believed her because she was his mother. I am willing, and if he is put in my life, I will sit down and talk to him. And I will know that it will be right. What I did, because I had to do something, was spend 3 years giving my time for a child abuse hotline. That in no way makes amends for them. Not at all. It doesn't even begin to cover it. But you know what? I had to do something formally, and I couldn't do it to him. You know, I could write a letter, but it just felt like I needed a little bit more. So I know that there are ways. You know, when it came time to make amends to my father, who was dead, there are ways to make amends to people who are not around, that wherever possible. But I need to be willing that when those people come in my path, I need to do it right then and right there. So, you know, I'm back to Thanksgiving, and I'm back to going with my sponsor's direction out to see my mother, who I haven't seen in a number of years. And, you know, I spent a lot of time with guilty in these rooms because people would talk about, you know, I'm back with my family, and I would think, what's wrong with me? I can't. And I went out, and I made amends to my mother. And
It was horrendous. But I left there and I called my sponsor and I said I did it. Because you know what? It wasn't well received. And it was... I'm an adult child of a terrorist. That's all that I can tell you. You know? They don't have a recovery group for that. There's nothing wrong with me. I grew up with an addict who never found recovery. And there's nothing I can do today to make that better. I have a brother who's now found these rooms. And you know what? He called me not too long ago. And he said, I finally understand. And I was like, you know what? Thank you, because I don't go quite so crazy anymore. It's like I really, really get, you know, I kept thinking, you know, she just left all of us. And he said, no, you didn't. You know, you couldn't sit in the bar anymore. You couldn't sit in the crack house anymore, because that's what it was to me. It was sitting with disease. But I needed to make amends. I didn't need to leave her off my list because she was so horrid. You know what? Because she did to me. But in turn, it was what I did with that. And what I did with that was abuse that stepchild. And what I did with that was become arrogant. That place that John talked about, I don't need your help, that dark little hole. You know what? That dark little hole gets me every time today. I don't need your help. Stay away. Do it myself. And when I made amends and I walked out that door, you know what? I didn't have to stand in that closet. I could come to you and say, you know what, I need help. I deserve better. I deserve to be loved. I deserve to be hugged. I deserve to be a part of. What freedom. I have to see you anymore. Feeling like I would never have someone love me like that. You know what, I won't. Not her. But you know what, God's put 100 other women in my life who will. And it wasn't until I made those amends and let go of that and became willing to accept that there's another way. Doesn't have to be just that one way. You know what, financial amends for me were part of one of the hardest places. You know, I'm married to someone who at 6 years less time than me had his all in a row. You know, all the ducks were in a row and here's me still, you know. I needed to get a little bit humble. I needed to ask for help and say, you know what? I don't know how to be financially responsible. I just don't. And I needed to ask someone to teach me, and I did. And you know what? They're coming. Really slowly, but they're coming. And the cool part of that is, my son, who grew up with this financial responsibility here, came to me and said, I don't know how to be financially responsible. Can you help? And I said, no, but stand here. And I'll just, you know, make sure that you make the payments on time. I'm learning, and that's what this is about. And if I didn't have the steps in order, because you know what? I would have kept my mother off my list. I would not have put myself on my list. And myself on my list includes being good to me today. You know, being sitting down and saying, you know what, you deserve so much better than that. I was with someone recently and she came into the meeting and she was upset and I said, what's wrong? And she told me and she was leaving and I walked out and she was leaving before the meeting was over because our some group can go on for a long time. And I walked up to her and I hugged her and I said, you know what, you deserve to be treated better than that. Really do. And she looked at me and thanked me, and you know what? I couldn't say that to you until I believed it for me. I couldn't have told you that, because if you would have told me that, I would have thought, oh, well, so what? I had no compassion or no empathy. I didn't know how. Not until I learned somewhere along the line, and that was through sponsorship, that I deserved better. I had women who taught me, you know what? You don't deserve to be treated like this. Especially by yourself. Because you know what? I would be much nicer to you than I ever could to you. I just think about The Wizard of Oz. All the way up to The Cowardly Lion was in my head. You know, it's really scary, the people that live in my head. But
that I actually think about when they get all fixed up at the end and they're, you know, they fix them all up and they're going down this, and that's, believe it or not, that's what it felt like to me after making amends. It was like this really cool Emerald City where I was just walking around saying, you know, it just felt so good and so free. And just to be able to look at people and not think about, what do I have hiding down here? You know what, there's nothing left in the closet. It's open, go look. What freedom. You know, what a gift. And then I could move on to the steps that, you know, are the ones that build my spirit. Beautiful thing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Okay. Our second speaker, help me welcome John.
Yes, my name is John B. and I'm an addict. First of all, I'd like to thank the God of my understanding because only because of His grace and mercy I'm standing before you all today. And I'd like to thank the retreat committee for asking me to share on the topic, making amends. And I also like to thank the speaker before me. I don't have a lot of time in this fellowship. You know, I'm like 4.5 years, and I'm not going to stand before you and sound like that I know all this about making amends. All I can share is my experience and through working the steps, identifying the spiritual principles and the things, you know, that lead up to making amends. You know, and see me, I'm one of the type of addicts where I don't like to come out off of my head because I know my own thinking. I know what it brings me. So I'm one of the addicts that read the literature. I come out the literature. Simple as that. You know, I've had addicts sometimes tell me I'm a basic text quoter. You know, I do H&I work, right? So I don't want to be coming out of my head. I want to come out the basic text or the literature. You know, I can tell you what page referred on because I'm not giving you my stuff. I'm giving you what's been working, you know, from experience, remember. All I can give you is my experience from identifying to Narcotics Anonymous, how it helped me and how it's helping me. From the previous step, coming up to the ninth step, and especially in the eighth step, where it says we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And it also talks about in the previous step we began to make peace with our higher power and with ourselves. And I can relate to that because I've done the steps. And like in the first step where I became, when I admitted that I was powerless over my disease, okay? And through that acceptance, peace right there, believe it or not, that was amends. That was amends process to me. Because I had stopped doing something that was killing and harming myself. See, I get excited around here. See, now I can only share what I experienced now. Because, see, I was one of the addicts that was out there. See, I was suffering from low self-esteem. Okay, derogation. You know, like when I came around here, I was sick and tired of myself. See, I came in here, I was talking about pain. See, I got tired of, when I first came around, when I got exposed the first time, like, I was in prison. And I remember, Ed, for example, he used to bring a message in. And the only reason why I went to the meeting was to get off the cell block. Okay? And guys would come in, share their experience, strength, and hope. And then when I got out, I went to a few meetings. And then, what really brought it home for me was when I went into this program and, you know, but I hit this bottom, like, I'm going to share this, and it's funny, like the speaker before me, she shared about her son. I also have a son, 27 years old, and I've done some things to him that really made me feel bad about myself. You know, I was like, how did I get to a place like this? You know, how? How? I couldn't understand that. And I mean, like, you know, at that point, I knew that I needed to change my whole way of thinking. And I knew I couldn't do it myself. So I went into the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I went to a 21-day program. They had H&I. They would bring in a commitment once a week. And they came in, they gave us suggestions like get a sponsor, make 90 and 90, get a home group, get in service. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't do none of that stuff. I got out, quit the work. I was hunting, trying to get myself back on board, you know, trying to get the apartment and in the car. And, you know, I was after those materialistic things. I'm going to be honest with you. And, you know, we're talking about amends. I'm going to jump back and forth. I had a financial amends that I kept brushing under the rug. You know, I knew eventually I'll take care of that. I'll get to it. Okay, maybe next week or next payday, I'll get it. You know, I got locked up. After a year in the program, used to go to meetings, didn't have a sponsor, didn't have a home group, came late and left early. Okay, got locked up, 40 days, they released me, went back to Coastfield, I got a sponsor. Got in service. Okay, as a matter of fact, I've been running in service ever since. I'm going to be honest with you. And you're talking about, I heard that it said the step was a solution. So I kept in. The step was a solution. Okay, and as I started reading with a sponsor, I found out the first 3 steps was my foundation. Okay? My foundation, get some clean time. You know? Establishing some getting in service, getting to meet people, establishing a support group, which I do have now, a relationship with my sponsor. Okay, now when I did that 4th step, they talk about that 4th step. Oh man, I was fearless. I mean, I'm talking about real thankful of that 4th step. Because see, I've done some stuff, man, that kept me in shame and guilt for years. And I found out through that 4th step, that was what was keeping me, you know, going back to using. That something, the 4th step was what I needed to share in the 5th step with somebody to get that release. You know, also in that 4th step, that's where I took that honest assessment of the wreckage and damage I caused to people and myself in the 4th step. I call it the change step. That's where you look in there and you look at the things you've done and you're talking about, hey, now look, we talk about we do recover. Hey, we talk about some change now. Talk about doing something different. Not doing the same thing, expecting the same result. So as I made that assessment with my sponsor, made that list, okay, went on to the 5th step, we talked about it, started working on different issues in the 4th step, and then we went on from the 5th step, went on to the 6th step. Okay, that's where I had to take a hard look at my character defects. The things that was really stopping me from growing, like my anger, you know, like not being a listener to other people. Always wanted to be the one that was outspoken one. You know, my right, my way was the right way. Then look at my character defects. And then after I realized that I had these character defects and I couldn't change them by myself, but through commitment and perseverance, I would eventually change. But only through God, with God's help. That's what it says in the text. He's the only person who can really change that. But I got to be in the process by actually exercising discipline when my character defects surface. I'm talking about like you know, being able to keep quiet and listen to somebody else's shit, be able to respect somebody else's opinion except mine. That's what I'm talking about, like the work you're talking about. Okay? Then I went on to the 7th step and humbly asked God to help me. I'm talking about, you know, and the humble part wasn't like, get on my knees and God, please help. It was like, God, please give me the insight of when they surface and help me to be recognized and be able to make that change. and be tested. And that, and see, it's a process. Because see, I'm not going to stand in front of you like I'm this person that got all these things in order. Because I'm finding out this is a journey. That's what I like about this retreat. It's a journey. It's only been around 4 years, and I'm in this journey. Like I'm in this spiritual journey right now, learning about who I am and freedom. See, the ninth step talks about freedom. I got to go through that ninth step, because like I said, I can't stand here before y'all and let you think this is coming from me. It says, N.A. if such art, excuse me, it says right here, it says that we may direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would it injure them or others. Okay? Okay, now, that's telling me right there that God's in this, not me. And also, it talks about a sponsor. Like going to someone and sharing to them about a person that I may harm. I have harmed. See, the ninth step talks about being responsible. Okay, the eighth step talks about the part that I played. And the ninth step talks about direct amends. But I cannot make that direct amends except when to do so would injure them or others. So, you know, if it's not the permitted time, I can't make it. And to my understanding, it's like when God shows me the time to do so. When I open myself up and talk to others and ask them for their help and their advice, I'm finding out the program is very therapeutic. Addicts, other recovering addicts I've had in the fellowship that helped me to make direct amends to certain people. I can give you an experience on a direct amends with my son. Like I was sharing early, that him and I have somewhat of a good relationship. And through my addiction, I've done some things to him that I didn't think I would ever do. You know, like stole his VCR, his tape. You know, and the young man, he tried to forgive me. But, you know, our addiction, you know, one is not enough. You know, 1,000 is not enough. I forget how you phrase that. But one is not enough. One is too many, 1,000 not enough. And that's how my addiction was. And he tried to forgive me. And, you know, like, I remember him and I standing toe-to-toe one night, getting ready to fight. And I remember he told me to my face, he said, you know what, you ain't SHP, you'll never be whatever, and, you know, get out my face, you know. And like, I'm going to share this with you. Like, in the ninth step, this talks about not just going up and saying, I'm sorry. It's a two-stage process, says the ninth step. It says, like, you follow that apology up with a behavior change. And see, my behavior change over the last 3 years has been, like, my commitment to my relationship with my son. I'm talking about, like, visiting him, showing up, doing things with him, earning that trust back. See, that's what I'm talking about, living and working the program, not just talking about it, but actually showing up and showing him that I'm not the same person that I used to be. And that's by commitment, showing him, and through action. Okay? Today, matter of fact, the 12th of July, I was his best man. He got married. Calls me daily. He's my friend. My best friend. And you know what? I owe it to this program. Only through this program. And I'm not just talking about my son. I'm talking about my relationship with my coworkers. I mean, I go to work. I pick my tea up. Nobody bothers me. I take things off. They pay me for it. I work $6 a day. Only work 4, and they pay me for 6. I take days off. They pay me for it. This program. So I read it, I write it, and then I exercise it. What I mean is, like, I go through the trial and error. That's the only way that I know how to work this program. You know, and it says in here is an ongoing process. We don't become perfect. So, you know, like I'm standing up here, I hope somebody got something out of it. But I tell you one thing, the freedom that it talks about, the serenity that it talks about, I have today. I feel good about John today. See, there was times I couldn't stand in front of people and share like this. I have that self-acceptance that they talk about. I still got fear. Like, I was facing like I don't know what before the meeting. Matter of fact, I asked Justin, don't let me share first. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I mean, I shared before, but I mean, it's just something about getting in front of people and opening up my mouth. You know, and today, this program is allowing me to be John. Man, I mean, like, look, I'm going to share something. I broke my hand. I wore gloves for 6 months because I couldn't accept my hand. I couldn't accept looking at it. 6 months! 6 months after being self-accepted. Now, I still don't like it, but it's a part of me now. I got to accept that. What did that have to go to about the men's process? How did that relate to the amends process, making amends? We got to make amends. You know, it's in when times prevail. I mean, I can't tell you when you can make an amends. You know, I know how God puts me in situations where it allows me to make amends. I realize some amends only He can do for me. It speaks about that in 9 steps. We have to get out His way and let Him do it. I can make some amends today, like I remember back during my addiction, how I, my community I lived in, the way I used to go out and buy drugs and, you know, pick up tricks, I used to take them home, and look at the young folks that used to see that. My amends today, I didn't do that. That's my amends to the young folks today. Women, I don't do that, I respect women. I make indirect amends. I live in a building with senior citizens. I'm the first one to be opening the door. Anything I can do for those people, that's my way of making amends. You know, it may sound silly, but I mean, it talks about that indirect amends. Sometimes we can't go up to certain people and say, I'm sorry. And then it talks about expectations. Some people ain't going to accept your amends. But see, the freedom we get is when we honestly ask them for forgiveness. See, that's where the freedom comes from. It's not so much of you accepting my apology. It's when I come to you honestly, earnestly, and ask for forgiveness. It takes courage. That's a spiritual principle of the 9th step, courage. Forgiveness. That's another spiritual principle. And I say this again. It's a process. Because, man, I can get up in my head about something, and, man, I'm back on the first step again. Acceptance. But what I love about the step, it helps you to be able to identify. See, I can identify today. I ain't just living, you know, and going through things today. You know, today, with the help of you people and the step, and the God of my understanding, I can live a more productive life. And I can be a loving member in society today. You know, I don't have to be one of those people that harm in society. I can be a positive individual in society. And, you know, another thing, and I'm going to close this, what I love about working the step is that, you know, even if we fall short sometimes, we can get back up and continue on. We can continue on in this journey, you know. And I hope I help somebody in here today. I'm just sharing from my experience, from what I'm understanding from the literature and what my sponsor's giving me. And when I go to different meetings and I hear people share, you know, they say the steps are the solution. They say every time you do a step, you get a much broader understanding. I found out I got to go back to my 4th step and do a relationship. steps in relationships. How you like that? Because there's something in my relationship, you know, with females that ain't happening, because it's just like I can't break through. But see, today I can honestly stand before you and share my shortcomings. See, without this process, I don't think I would have been able to do it. And that's all I have to share. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. I'd like to thank both of our speakers for their experience, strength, and hope of us. Could someone come up to the podium for me just for today?
I'm at his name, Joseph. Tell yourself, just for today. My thoughts will be on my recovery. Living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program I will try to follow to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new association, people who are not using, who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Thank you.
Okay. We have no story closing.